Good morning, lifers. Good to see you this morning. And you know we've been away from each other a long time. When I see Ivan on the screen, he's got a mustache. It's been too long away from all you guys. And little Lena, my gosh, look how big she's getting. So good to see you. So great to have you this morning. We are in the middle of our yearly theme messages. I've been preaching on this theme for the first 3 months of the year. And it's cultivate, plant, water, harvest. What do those words mean? It's the process by which we see someone come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Our third marker of our four is purpose. And God has brought us here. He saved us for a purpose. That purpose is not simply to go to church. It's not to have Bible studies or to have small groups. Those are all good and they're foundational to what we do. But our purpose was given to us by Jesus in Matthew 28. Go and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them everything I've commanded you. That's our purpose. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's commanded us that. And then he filled us with his Spirit to empower us to do that. But many of us feel apprehensive about that mandate and about that call. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. Why do we fear sharing the gospel? What do I have to be afraid of? And today I want to give you some points on how to overcome those fears. Take a look at this chart. In a recent poll, Christians gave the following reasons to why they don't share Jesus regularly with others. 22% it was because of fear. 17% lack of opportunity. 17% nothing stops them. 10% they don't feel equipped. 9% didn't feel others were interested. 8% they feared rejection. 8% feared hostility. 8% were too busy. 4% too shy. 4% couldn't find an appropriate time. 4% it's too hard. 3% don't want to seem pushy. 3% didn't want to offend. Now, I did the math on all of that, and some people marked two answers to the survey, but close to 70%, or just actually right at 70%, of the people said that fear had something to do with their reluctance to share the gospel. Fear of being pushy, fear of being rejected, fear of hostility, and some just fear in general. They were concerned. Most everybody has had some kind of apprehension about sharing the gospel. And it's not because we don't love people. It's not because we don't love Jesus. It's just that maybe we're just a bit too concerned about ourselves. That our apprehensions are fear-driven. And I want to help us to overcome that this morning. Maybe it's a fear of being labeled. A fear that you'll lose a friendship. A fear of being defined as one of those kind of people. A fear of negative backlash. A fear of being belittled by someone else. Maybe it's even a fear that you've taken too long to share the gospel with someone, and maybe your behavior hasn't been quite godly, and now you're afraid that you'll be a bad witness. That your life has been bad advertising for Jesus Christ. If we're to become Christians that truly function in the purpose that God commanded us and we cultivate, plant, water, and harvest, we've got to overcome these fears. And I want to let you know that if you're out there thinking, well, that's me, and I just feel like a loser Christian, about 7 months ago, 8 months ago now, all of the Abundant Life Church leadership went through a process of self-evaluation. That we really felt strongly that I couldn't preach these messages to you unless we kind of evaluated ourselves to see if we were being the proper leadership for you to follow. And you know what we came up with at the end of all of our process? That we all had fears and apprehensions too. That there were times when I've even been a bit reluctant or a bit overly concerned about my own reputation or my own definition in someone else's mind or a concern that if I share, someone might then not want to be my friend anymore. We all have those fears. We all struggle. But yet Paul said in Romans 1:16, as I've read, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. Paul stood boldly, you know, he proclaimed boldly, even in the face of tremendous persecution. That powerful picture of Paul in Ephesus, where they beat him and stoned him and left him for dead. But then he went right back into the city again. I don't know about you, I'd be afraid of going back in there again. Why would I want to get stoned a second time? But yet there was something that drove him. Something that motivated him beyond even the concerns of physical danger. Today I want to help us to overcome some of those fears this morning. Let's start with this. I want to give you four of them. Four steps to more effective faith sharing. Number one, become convinced that love is greater than fear. This is the foundation. We've got to become convinced that my love for people and my love for God is greater than my fear about myself and how I'll be perceived. You see, that's just putting others in front of ourselves. That's putting God in front of ourselves. And when we get our fears as greater, then we put ourselves in front of God and we put ourselves in front of other people. What motivates us as Christians to share our faith? For some, it's maybe the motivation of feeling successful. I'm a good Christian if I share my faith. God must be proud of me. My pastors must be proud of me. The church leaders must be proud of me. I'm successful if I share my faith. Well, that'll last only so long as it's easy. When persecution comes or when resistance does come, and it will come, then we'll abandon that right away because it just won't be worth it. Maybe we're motivated by guilt. I know I should. I know it's my duty. I know the Bible says so. Oh, I'll feel guilty if I don't. Well, is that really the right motivation? Is that a loving motivation? Does that have everything to do with people, or is that all about us? Maybe we're even motivated by the needs of others. That they have a need. I must reach out to them. Well, to be honest, and this, I don't mean to be callous here, but How many pictures of, say, you know, starving children do we have to see before we come a bit desensitized to the need? Oh, yeah, I've seen it before. Oh, yeah, I know the need. Oh, yeah, kind of gotten used to it. You see, those are all selfish motivations. Or they're maybe not the motivation that will truly get us to be like Paul and share our faith with abandonment. There has to be a different motivation. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 gives us the motivation, the proper motivation for sharing the gospel. Here's what Paul says in verse 11 and verse 14. He says, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. In these two verses, we have the two proper motivations, fear of God and Christ's love. Those are the two things that move us. Since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we persuade men. And I don't mean being afraid of God. Oh, if I don't share my faith, God's going to beat me or pound me. That's not fear of the Lord. That's being afraid of the Lord. And they're very different. Fear of the Lord is that awe, that respect, that submission. And it is the awareness that He's the sovereign Lord and that He does hold the keys of heaven and hell. He is the gracious Father who went to the cross. And we fear abusing His precious blood that He shed on the cross. We fear the Lord. So therefore, we approach people because we know that God has put this mandate on us, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we don't want to disappoint Him. We don't want to disobey Him. We don't want to not satisfy the desires of His heart. And that is to bring people back again, back to Him. I remember in the late 80s, and some of you will remember this, probably one of the greater scandals in modern church history. And that is the scandal over Jim Baker and the Praise the Lord broadcast. A global program, millions of people watched every week as Jim Baker would have his talk show and he'd present the gospel and it was kind of glitzy and so on. But people watched and gave millions and millions of dollars. of which Jim Baker abused that money. He stole the money. He ended up having inappropriate sexual relationships with people in the company. And the name of Jesus was dragged through the mud because of that scenario. He went to jail for his crimes. While he was in jail, a Christian brother went to interview him. And in that interview, the question was asked, Jim, when is it that you stopped loving God? And that led you to stealing money and putting up this false front and having inappropriate relationships with the women. When is it that you stopped loving God? And Baker said, I never stopped loving God. I stopped fearing God. You see, we can love God. I've sinned. Sadly, sin way too often. Even in the midst of my sin, if you say, you don't love God, I would argue with you. Say, I love God. But in that moment, I stopped fearing God. I treated His awesome power, His amazing name, His authority, His omnipotence. I've treated all that callously in that moment. And I stopped fearing God. You see, church, we've got to have the proper fear. And Paul said, since we know what it is to fear the Lord, we persuade men. That awesome respect, that submission, that knowledge of who He is drives us to persuade people. And the next verse says it's the love. His love compels us. Because you see, when you know what it means to fear Him, you know what it means to love Him. Because the fear of God, that awesome Savior, is the same one who says, come to me and I'll give you rest. Come be with me. Come approach me boldly. I died for you. I gave you my life. And what kind of God would give His life for people like us? But that's the God who loves us. And we've experienced that great love. His love compels us. After what that great God has done for us on the cross, how can we keep it a secret? How can we be private about that? It's His love that compels us. 1 John 4:11-17 says, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God is love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. If we're afraid of sharing the gospel, then we've got a problem with our fearing of the Lord. And we've got a problem with the love of the Lord. For perfect love casts out fear of man. Now, I'm talking about not fearing God. The fear of God drives us to share. The fear of man will cause us to shrink back. If you fear God, you'll never fear man. If you truly fear God, there is no one that will ever intimidate you. Because God is the one that you fear. When you feel the love of God through you in such a way that you're broken by that love, and you don't quite understand why a person like you, and I think, why a person like me, would God even show interest in me? But yet He did. And He wants to reach those too. You see, sometimes we just think the people are the adversary. They're not. They're harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Why would we fear people? They're the ones that are wounded. They're the ones that are broken. They're the ones that are hungry. They're the ones that need. They're the ones Jesus came to seek and to save. I want to bring delight to Jesus' heart. And therefore, I must become convinced that love is greater than the fear of sharing the gospel. That's number one. Love is greater than fear. Number two, prepare to share. Prepare. One of the second or third most popular answer in the survey was that there just isn't opportunities. Well, there are opportunities everywhere. If we prepare, if we don't prepare to share, we'll find the opportunities are very limited because we're not looking for them. We're not aware of them. We're not watchful. Many of us fear sharing the gospel because we don't know what to say. How would we talk to people? What will we say to them? What if we get it wrong? What if we quote the verse wrong? What if we, you know, say the wrong thing and we just shrink into our fear because of a lack of knowledge? You know, I have a reoccurring nightmare. I don't know why I get these crazy nightmares, but I do. This particular nightmare, and I've had all kinds of them. I assure you do too. Like the nightmare when you've been in school all year, but you haven't studied and it's the final. Or I get one where I forgot my locker combination and I'm a senior in high school and I, you know, what happened? I forgot it. Or the naked dream. You have the naked dream when you're like at work or somewhere public and you're suddenly naked? Weird what our mind does. But I've got this reoccurring nightmare of I'm standing in front of the church on a Sunday morning and I'm not prepared at all. I haven't studied. I don't know the scripture. I don't even know what I'm standing there for. And I'm preaching and the people are looking at me and they're looking around going, what is he talking about? Now, not like you're doing right now, I know. And little by little, the people start to walk out as I'm speaking, because they're like, he doesn't even know what he's saying. What's he doing? Who is this? And I'm about halfway through what I think I'm supposed to say, and the church is empty. There's nobody there. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm done. Everybody's gone. It's that fear of lack of preparation. It's petrifying. I've got another weird one that I got to throw it in just because I have to. And it's that I'm preaching in the same sanctuary, except the sanctuary is a three-ring circus. And there's trapeze artists and jugglers and clowns running around. And I'm not saying Abundant Lifers are clowns. I'm not saying that. But it's just a reoccurring nightmare around not being prepared. Here's what another part of that survey said. Of those who share, only 11% actively look for opportunities to share. 11%, 11 out of 100 are looking for opportunities. But a full 75% just say it happens unexpectedly. In other words, they trip over themselves in a sharing opportunity. That the person is like right in front of them and they couldn't avoid him if they tried. And that's how they end up sharing the gospel. Where 11% say it's a combination of both, and 3% say they don't know how it happens. They just don't know. I think that's kind of sad that so few would prepare to obey the great commandment. If Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, or make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teach them everything I've commanded you to do. And then we go, well, I don't really prepare. I don't really study to do that. I don't really prepare my life or my day to do that. Because, if it happens, it happens, and that's all great. He commanded us to do this. If we received a command from our boss and that there's a due date attached to it, I guarantee you, you'd prepare. There is a due date attached to this world. It's called the last day when Jesus will come and judge every man, woman, boy, and girl. Don't you think the world needs the church to be prepared to share the gospel? Here's what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best to prepare is what that says. To be a workman approved. Do your best to correctly handle the word of truth so that you won't be ashamed. The word of truth. You know what the Bible says the word of truth is? The word of God? The Bible says that word of truth is a sword. That's what the Bible says the word of God is. Now, isn't it foolish if we don't know how to use the sword of the Spirit? How many of us know really how to use the sword of the Spirit? Do you know how to use it? Do you know how to apply the scriptures to your life circumstance? Would you know how to apply the word of God to your marriage, to your job, to your money, to your relationships, to your fears, to your lack of content? Do you know how to use the word of God? It's a sword. How ridiculous for somebody to come to you and say, oh, friend, I'm really hurting. I'm really, really struggling right now. And we say, whoa, wah, I have the word. Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. What a ridiculous thing. You don't grab the sword by the blade. But yet so many of us use that scripture out of context. That's to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Or what about the one, things are really hard right now. I'm going through so many trials and struggles. And the Christian trots right in and says, wow, I got the answer. James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4. Consider it all joy, my friend. It's okay. Suck it up, buttercup. We don't know. What are we doing? Slicing and dicing ourselves and slicing and dicing them. Oh, but things are really tough for me right now. I'm not sure if I can handle the burden. Wow, I've got the answer. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God will not allow you to bear anything too great for you to handle. And that is a wrong use of that scripture. Because it's talking about temptations. Not about the struggles of life. See, you get what I mean, right? We don't know how to use a sword. And in the process, we slice and dice our own gospel. And we mislead people. So much better to be prepared with the sword of the Spirit so that when the time does come, you can use it right and you can slice and dice the enemy's lies and you can actually help people grow and help them overcome their struggles, not make their struggles worse. And so many of us do that in a well-meaning way, of course. 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Always be prepared to give an answer. Church, study. Study. It's not rocket science. Study. Read. Go to seminars. Go to Bible studies. Get into groups in common. Always be prepared to give an answer. Not so that you can say, I've got the answer. Aren't I amazing? With gentleness and respect. The idea is redemption. The idea is healing. The idea is not about making yourself look smart. Or, I've got the answers. Don't you think Jesus is cool because of me? It's not about you. It's about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Always be prepared to give an answer. So, number one, love is greater than fear. That's the foundation. Number two, prepare to share. And the opportunities will be everywhere when you're prepared. Number three, trust the Holy Spirit. Trust the Holy Spirit. You're going to get into those scenarios where you need God's Spirit to guide you. And you know what? He promised He will. Don't be afraid of what you'll say. Now, I'm not saying, oh, the Holy Spirit will guide me. I don't have to prepare. He'll just give me the words to say. No. Prepare. Study to show yourself approved. Always be prepared to give an answer. But you will be in situations that will be difficult and that you're going to need to rely on the Spirit. And in that moment, the Spirit of God will give you words and He'll help you through. John 15:26-27 says, when the Counselor comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, He will testify about me, but you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus is going to send the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. When you received Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit came and took up residence in your life. He's there now, if you're a follower of Christ. But Jesus also said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There's a power that God gives us, and it's from the Holy Spirit, and He wants to infill you with that power, that in the Greek, the dunamis, the dynamite, not an explosion that leaves everybody in shreds, but that slow burning like a volcano that just roars up within, and it's the power of the truth that will come out in the time that you need it. You ever noticed The difference between the disciples in the Gospels and the disciples in the book of Acts? The disciples in the Gospels were petrified. Afraid of the Pharisees, afraid of the Jews, afraid of the church. Peter was afraid of a little servant girl around the fire when he denied Jesus three times. When Jesus was crucified, they all ran away. And they all hid out. But then in the book of Acts, whoa! What happened to these guys? They're getting flogged and saying, praise God, I got to suffer for his name. They're getting stoned. They're getting their heads chopped off like James did in Acts chapter 12. And they're saying, let's pray harder. And when they get beaten, they're saying, God, give us the words to proclaim your gospel even more boldly. What happened to these guys? Disciples, the Gospels, book of Acts. Well, right in the middle is this thing called the endowment of power from the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. That's what changed them. Trust the Holy Spirit. And for those of you who have not yet received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, seek that. Talked about this a few weeks ago. Seek Him. Seek Him. This is the power to fulfill God's command. If you don't have the power to fulfill his command and you know he's coming again, wouldn't you want to then do everything you could to fulfill his command? Therefore, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to do that, there's so many opportunities here at Abundant Life that we've provided and will continue to provide so that you can learn more and grow more. Trust the Holy Spirit and seek him for his great and awesome power. Love is greater than fear. Prepare to share. Trust the Spirit. And finally, feel the fear and share anyway. All that I've said still won't take away all the apprehensions because we're stuck in this body of flesh. There still will be the moments of, okay, here we go. And that's okay. Feel the fear and go and share anyway. Somebody said that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is doing in the presence of fear. We need to be a little more courageous, don't we? Remember, the people aren't the enemy. There is an enemy, but it's not those people. Those people are the ones trapped by the enemy that we're trying to help get them set free. And really, you know, most of the fears that I have are made up in my own imagination. And when I step out in courage, those things that I was afraid of don't happen. Almost always. But I built this scenario in my mind of, oh, this is going to happen, and then this will happen, and then this. Oh, no, I don't want to. Oh, gosh. And worry just starts to bury me. And then when I actually say, well, no, I'm doing it anyway, it doesn't turn out anywhere near what I imagined it would be. Friday, I just had an experience that I did not want to do. I did not want to confront a situation, but I knew I had to. I knew it was the right thing. Knew that it would just not be good if I didn't. But I had it in my mind, oh, great, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be this blow up. Oh, God, okay. And I just spent some time in the morning, said, God, I need you to go before me. I need you to be my, you know, you be the wedge that will drive and just separate any hostility, any deal, and God give me words to say. And you know, it was one of the most calm interactions or confrontations I've ever had. Very calm, very just, I won't say delightful because it still wasn't fun, but it was a confrontation that led to fixing some real problems. And I walked away thinking, God, you're so good. God, you're so good. When I trust you and even in apprehension, step in courage anyway, you are the God who will go before me. Paul said in Philippians 1:14, because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and more fearlessly. Everybody gets afraid. And Paul said, even though I've had the difficult times I've had, even in my chains, even with the fear of chains, more people, because of my example, are sharing more courageously and more fearlessly. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Here's what I know. If I'm feeling reluctance to share the gospel because of some fear, I should immediately identify that as not from God. Because God did not give me the spirit of fear. God gave me the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. If I'm contemplating sharing with someone else, and I'm apprehensive and a bit afraid about it, afraid of what they'll react, afraid of what they'll say, I can immediately say, wait a minute, that is not from God, but power and love is from God. And my own discipline, and I'm going to choose in the power of the Spirit to love that person. And with a sound mind and self-discipline, be wise and choose the right angle and the right timing. That's from God. So if you're feeling those fears, just identify them for what they are. That's not God. I know that's not God. Because that's fear. And that's not right. Love is greater than fear. Prepare to share. Trust the Holy Spirit. And when you're feeling afraid, share anyway. These four steps will really, really help you in your sharing of the gospel. And you'll see more people respond to Jesus than ever before. Because this is God's words, church. And if we are going to be people of the cross, then we've got to cultivate, plant, water, harvest. That's His mandate. That's His marching orders. Let me give you just a few brief practical things you can do. This is not in your outline, it won't be on the screen. But can I just encourage you every morning when you wake up, say, God, today, I want to be prepared to share with someone. God, as I read my Bible this morning, fill me with verses, fill me with truth that I can use to share with someone else. God, today, lead me to the person who has a need that I have the resources to fill that need. Every day, pray that prayer. Every day, spend close, quality time with God, asking Him to give you His heart for lost people. If you get God's burden for people, there'll be no end to the opportunities. Jesus never was left alone for 1 minute, practically, of His ministry until He went and ditched people and went up to pray or something. But when He was around folks, there was never a moment where He didn't have an opportunity to touch someone. Never. Because He was always functioning in the love of God. Make a prayer list of people you're praying for every day. People that are not yet Christians, but people you love and you want to see become Christians and you want to have God use you to share with them. Begin to make a list and pray for them every day. It's very simple. Be open to the serendipitous divine appointments. Now, that seems kind of like an oxymoron. God plans for us to cross paths with people. And when you cross paths with people and it was like, oh, that was kind of really interesting running into that person, get your antenna up and think, wait a minute, was that God? Did God bring that person across my path in order for something? Never, never overlook a potential opportunity. And then above all, learn to walk in the courage of the Holy Spirit as you seek Him. Church, God is good. He loves people. And don't you want to see the people you love worshiping alongside you? I do. There are folks in my life that I can't wait to see come to Jesus so that on a Sunday morning they can stand right by me and we can together with upraised hands praise our Savior. That's what heaven's going to be like. And to watch them then go out and live a life that's full of joy, that's full of purpose, and to know that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that they're going to escape the judgment of their resistance of Jesus, and instead they'll enjoy an eternity with the Savior that they've accepted. I want that for my friends. I want that for my family. Don't you? Let's apply these four things in our life today. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for both those who are yet to receive Jesus and those who have not yet. And then we're going to close. But I pray you'll take these things to heart. Don't let the fear overcome, because it's not of God. But let's walk in courage, the courage of the Holy Spirit, the courage that we get from preparing, and the courage that we get from knowing that God is an awesome God, and the fear of God drives us to persuade men. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for those who don't yet know you, and I ask you, Lord, to move on their hearts today. There is a heaven, there is a hell, they're real places. I ask in Jesus' name, God, that by your Holy Spirit, even through the airwaves, that you're touching people. That the Word of God is not restrained by distance. I know there are people watching in other states and even some overseas. God, you're not constrained. That right now the Word of God that is true is penetrating hearts. And I ask in Jesus' name for repentance to come into people's lives. In Jesus' name, Lord, I pray that your salvation would just soften a heart, your grace rather, would soften a heart so they would turn and respond to you, and their name can be written in your book of life. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, oh God, remove the fears, remove the apprehensions, remove the past that has got them afraid to take the step of faith. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that are listening that are Christians. God, forgive us. Forgive us for being more afraid of men than we are of you. Forgive us for putting our own interests in front of your interests. Forgive us, God, for placing our own agenda, our own life goals in front of your commands. Forgive us, God, for being nonchalant about preparation. Forgive us for being casual about the hunger for your Holy Spirit. Forgive us, God, when we've been too afraid and therefore then abandoned the calling you've placed on our lives. God, today we choose to repent, and we choose from now on to pursue you and to pursue your truth and to walk in your power. From now on, we choose as obedient children of the Most High God. We thank you, God, that you will now, as we live from now on, you will empower us with everything we need. We glorify you, Lord, and we give you praise. Thank you for loving us, for your love compels us. Thank you, Jesus. In the precious name of the sword bearer, in the precious name of Jesus, the strong Son of God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you're a person today and you're making a decision about Jesus and want to invite him into your life, or if you just have questions, take time to go to our website on the connection area. Click that menu item and the drop down will come. Fill out that connection card, and I'll help you to know what it means to know Jesus more. If you're a believer and you are struggling with sharing your faith and you've got questions, do the same thing. Fill out the connection card and I'll respond to you and help you to learn and to kind of walk through those confusions that you may have. After we're concluded here in just a few seconds, there'll be a slide that will come up on your screen that you can log on to a Zoom link and have prayer with somebody. We can pray together and be strengthened. So take advantage of that opportunity, all right? Most of all, let's live from now on. From now on, I will fulfill God's great commission. For when Jesus said in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus is going to do that in your life if you're willing to follow. God bless you, lifers. Love you so much. We'll see you next week.